You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Lord Jesus, that can mean only one thing. The great Commander Jesse Reed is in the house. Commander, hello. It's good to see you.
How's it going?
You are not skipping arm day lately. My word, man. Are you on roids or what?
No. I'm on protein.
Oh, my God.
Chicken breast.
Got to have protein.
I got to fill out this 7 Dust shirt somehow.
Okay, simmer down. How are you, bud? It's good to see you, man.
I'm good.
Everything good?
So Evelyn, my daughter's here in the studio. We were listening to the show on the way in here. And we were laughing about the whole name thing. That's pretty funny.
Did you guys have a favorite horrible name?
Yeah, actually, it was reminding me of a story in high school. I think there's an old like Civil War cemetery that's up on Signal Hill. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Like you go in there and it's like from the 1800s. I might be messing up the
location. It might be in a neighborhood, but it's not on Southwest Boulevard.
But it's here in Kansas City. And I remember being in high school in a history class and we went out there for a field trip. And it was kind of a weird field trip. We just went and took a bunch of notes on the graves. And I remember I ran across a grave there and the guy's name was Richard Rash.
Okay.
Yep. Well, we have a very
prominent... Let's just say he went by Richard.
Poor guy.
We have a very prominent physician here in the Metro whose actual name is Dr. Richard Pound, and he does not go by Richard.
Yeah. All right, we've got...
Old tricky dick.
We are getting a little too blue, you guys. We got to reel this one back in, man. Jeez Louise. We are going to burn in hell.
That was certified before this.
Yeah, show. I know. Okay. That was certified long before I got this job. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. Have you heard the rumor about a third Top Gun movie?
I have, yeah.
Ooh, are you consulting?
I'm not cool enough to be consulted.
Oh, stop
anymore.
It. You're a Top Gun.
No, I've heard about that. I have no idea what the storyline's going to be.
Well, Maverick's also...
Wait, let me guess.
Now.
There's going to be a guy who...
Go 12 G's.
There's going to be a guy who's got a lot of confidence. Something's going to shake his confidence, and then he's going to have this moment where he's got to fight through it, and then he wins in the end. That's my guess.
And then there's going to be an adversary that will never tell you the country where they come from.
But nebulous you can country. Guess.
Nebulous country that could be Russia, but I'm not sure.
Probably. I mean, it sounds like they're speaking Russian. I don't know. We'll see.
When we used to do training, air wing training in the Navy, we never had a country name. So we would set up a whole scenario that was a very realistic, real world scenario, but we always called it Country Orange or Country Red.
Why?
I guess we just didn't want to name an actual country because it was all a theoretical scenario.
Did you guys really have MiGs?
Did we have MiGs?
Yeah, Top Gun.
I know the United States has those in the inventory. Yeah, we get our hands on them.
But like in the
we have actual surface-to-air systems, too, out there.
And I know you're so sick and tired of every time you come on the show and guest fill for Dana that I want to talk about Top Gun.
Because all I do with my daughters at home is we talk about surface-to-air systems and MiGs and stuff. It kind of gets tiresome. You know, they ask me about this stuff all the time.
Talk about, like, where do you park a fighter jet on
it's
a...
It's almost as predictable as the next Top Gun plotline.
It's...
Watch your mouth, Satan.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
So in the original Top Gun,
yeah,
they go up against like the
dreaded MiG-28,
yeah,
which is a fake airplane. Doesn't exist. In fact, oh man, I'm going to burst your bubble.
God,
here.
Don't do this.
Do you know what
every time you come in, you take one little thing away from my favorite movies.
And you blame it on me, but you ask the questions. I got to answer.
I had a buddy. We were on Facebook today talking before I came in. And, I told him Dana's not feeling well. And he goes, oh, who's filling in today? And I said, Commander Jesse Reed. He goes, oh, I love it when he fills in. He's so great. He goes, and he and I are both Top Gun, like, aficionados.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only movie that could displace Top Gun was Top Gun Maverick. And he said, so did he see Top Gun Maverick? I go, that's the dumbest question anybody's ever asked. I said, of course he did. That's how we met. And met 3 years ago because... Dana brought him in because I was over the moon that Top Gun Maverick was coming out, and turns out it's now my favorite movie. And he goes, is the whole movie realistic? And I said, well, I said, there's only two things, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's only two things I think Jesse's told me that probably are not accurate. Number one is when the Russian jet does that literal in air stop.
Hockey stop.
And turns back. You said, I don't know that that's... You didn't say it wasn't real. You said, I don't know that that is real.
You know, Yeah, I don't know if it is real. I know some of the fifth generation fighters can do some pretty cool stuff now. I mean, you go out to an air show and you watch the F-35 or F-22 fly around, and it does some pretty crazy stuff. Just the way I looked at it in that movie, though, when that scene happens, I thought, man, to do a hockey stop like that and change directions that quickly, the airplane might be able to handle it, but I think the human body flying it might be crushed into a grape.
And the other thing you said, and I told him this, is that getting up to 10 Gs is highly unlikely.
Yeah, probably. I mean, F-16s right now can fly around 9 Gs. And if you look at an F-16
cockpit.
But don't
you feel like there's an elephant on your chest at that point?
Oh, yeah. There is an elephant on your chest.
You can't breathe, right?
No. Yeah. That's why you do that maneuver. You see the maneuver, the Hick maneuver?
What's that?
Well, if you watch, you can go YouTube this stuff. I love this. I love that I can say this now. I just go, hey, you can YouTube this.
Why do I need to YouTube it when I got you right in front of me?
Well, you were going to have me demonstrate it then, and it's going to get real embarrassing here. The Hick maneuver.
Clench everything.
Yeah. So you squeeze your leg muscles, and that you have that G suit that's squeezing your muscles too on your legs. Right. So it's pushing all the blood back into your head. And then because every time you take a breath, you have to fight to suck that air in when you have that elephant sitting on your chest. You suck the air in and then you kind of hold it for a second and it makes this hick kind of noise. And so if you watch
What's it sound like?
Hick. Okay. One more time?
Yeah, one more. Okay. Has it happened to you?
Yeah. So when you would fly, you would start to pull G's and you would take in a breath of air and then you would clench everything and you'd go hick. And you would hold it for like 5 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, and then you'd exhale real quickly and suck another breath of air in and do it again. So you go, hick.
So when the thing is when your suit is compressing your legs, not to be perverted, how far up does the pressure go?
Oh yeah, we were too blue earlier. Yeah.
It goes up to like just above the belly button. So it wraps all the way up to like middle torso.
And it squeezes the blood all the way from your toes to your torso into your brain.
It goes from your calves up to your, just above your belly button. And yeah, there's little air bladders in there that fill up like a whoopee cushion, almost like a blood pressure cuff. And the jet senses, cause it's connected to the jet senses that you're pulling G's and it shoots a bunch of air in these bladders and fills it up and it squeezes all your lower extremities.
How can you focus on what you're supposed to do when all that pressure is going on? I don't understand this.
Well, I mean, I could ask you the same question. When you first started out on radio, how did you focus on the task at hand and talk with all the pressure around you? You get used to it, right?
We are not comparing what I do for a living to what you did. That's not happening.
It's proficiency. The first time I flew, you know, I was just trying to make sure that I, you know, got the airplane safely off the ground and could talk on the radios. Eventually, you get proficient enough at these things that they become second nature. The first time I learned how to fly formation, and you're up next to an airplane just a few feet from them. I mean, your airplane's porpoising all around and you're trying to stay in position and that's all you can focus on. 100% of your concentration is on that. Fast forward a few years, you're very proficient at this. Now you fly formation, you don't even consciously think about it. It's like when you drive to work here, you're driving, you're doing all the things. The right foot is pushing the accelerator and the brake and you're turning left and right and the turn signal. And I bet you don't remember any of it afterwards because you just do it unconsciously. So that's the level of proficiency you get so that you can then focus on those things like breathing correctly.
Well, and again, not to compare my job to yours, but people say to me, you know, what did you talk about today?
Mm-hmm.
If it's 7 o'clock at night, I'm going to tell you, I have
you
no
already
idea.
Forgot.
Yeah, I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
I have
now,
no idea.
Yeah.
In Top Gun, do they call that breathing technique the Valsalva maneuver?
No, Valsalva is when you blow the air out of your ears to like repressurize your ears. So if you ever climb or descend in an airplane when you're traveling and you feel like your ears clogging up a little bit?
I do that all the time when I fly.
Yeah.
But when I'm in an airplane, I'm not flying it. I've never flown anything in my life.
Brace yourself, Sam. It's called the agasm, anti-G strain maneuver. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Agasm. Going fast. Did you guys see that the Wienermobiles took to the Indy 500 track today?
What is going on
today?
Hey,
speaking of Indy tracks and comparisons, did you know Days of Thunder is really just Top Gun on four wheels, right?
Yes, of course. Everybody knows
that.
Okay,
just making sure you guys knew that. Okay.
Duh.
Just feel like I had to say that.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
I mean, every Mission Impossible is Top Gun and a spy novel.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the name Trickle on the air earlier in the first segment.
Trickle. No, we didn't.
You didn't mention Richard Trickle?
No, we did not. Because we're moving on.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, anyway, it was a very close race. They were going very fast, at least 7 Gs around that track in the hot dog. Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles. And the winner won by less than a wiener.
Your wiener's writing checks your buddy can't cash.
Reading the news story. Fox Sports.
That's not a Top Gun quote.
It's been a fun career.
All right.
Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. All right, let's go down to New Orleans. A Slidell woman has been arrested and accused of helping a fugitive who is still at large from the massive New Orleans jailbreak and loot capture, according to police in Louisiana. Connie Whedon, 59 years old, has been taken into custody, booked into the St. Tammany Parish Correctional Center as of last night. In addition to jail employees, she is now the third person arrested for assisting the Orleans Justice Center's escaped inmates. I'm going to make a correction there. She is the fourth.
Yeah, you said outside of people working at the jail.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
She's the third person.
I see what you're saying. Okay, third person once they got out.
Correct.
There was one who helped them when they were still in.
Mr. Janitor guy.
Yeah, turned off the water, allegedly. Whedon faces a felony charge of accessory after the fact for allegedly assisting Jermaine Donald, one of the five escapees who remains on the run.
Now, what did they think was going to happen when a guy in orange, well, I guess they weren't in orange anymore because they had the clothes stashed in the woods.
You can stop with the word thinking.
That's a great point. What did they not think was going to happen when they decided that, hey, we know that this guy was in jail awaiting trial for probably murder charges because three of the five that are still on the lam are facing murder charges. You just think to yourself, oh, we're going to have a happily ever after.
The story's crazy. What was in it, and I might have missed this because I haven't been up to speed on it. What was in it for the people that assisted him? Were they getting money or something?
No, they were giving them money. So this woman, Connie Whedon, allegedly gave this Donald character, whatever his first name is, who cares? when he got out and was on the run, she got him a phone, or he had a phone, and she was moving money on a cash app into his phone. Here's what I don't understand, and Toby Doerr has been on this show plenty of times, and she's much closer to Dana than she is to me. I have nothing against Toby Doerr. She served her time in prison for helping John Maynard escape from the Lansing Penitentiary. The old dog crate lady, that's right. And Toby Doerr, who is a very nice, lovely lady, I don't know that I would consider her a friend, but a friendly acquaintance, no doubt. Something happens in these prisons that, quite frankly, I don't understand. And notice that three of the four who have been charged are women. Something happens. I don't know if it's because they're bad boys.
It's like an emotional relationship almost that kind of develops.
Well,
like
it becomes, that probably becomes physical once the guys get out.
So almost like a Stockholm syndrome in reverse.
Well, and let's be honest. I guarantee you all three of these women who are accused of helping these escapees, they didn't meet these guys overnight, right? Sure. I guarantee you they knew them prior to them being behind bars. And, oh, Johnny's out. Let's go help him get some clothes and some money because he obviously can't get a job right now.
I don't think he can get a job ever.
So I'm sure there probably was some sort of romantic relationship prior or whatever that looks like when you're a accused murderer.
But don't you think that this is getting just a little too deep, a little too weird? And here's why I say that. Everybody who was working this wing of the jail, men and women combined, were either in on it, helping, or not there. And by being not there, you might have been helping, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody heard them ripping out this toilet from the wall. Nobody heard them chipping away at the drywall once they got the toilet away. Who gave them the towels that allowed them to jump over the razor wire? Because they did have towels, I learned today.
Nobody heard them ripping malfunctioning cell doors open because there's two people to a cell. 10 people got out.
I mean,
five doors were ripped open.
There were 36 people in that jail that night. 36 staff members. Is every one of them not wearing their hearing aids or deaf?
Well, that was my question. How are we in a day and age where prisons have less security than some of our houses do?
Our schools.
Great point.
There are houses where if you move around in the space after a certain hour and the alarm is armed, it sets off a motion sensor alarm. How do we not
lights
have that?
Lights go on.
Yeah.
You know.
How does the fence not have some sort of motion or vibration detection in there?
The answer to your question is three words. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, in this specific situation, they had to have had a lot of help. Obviously, the guy is accused of turning the water off, which, by the way, he has said that he did turn the water off. He is just claiming self-defense because he claims that they threatened to shank him.
Although his attorney yesterday said something completely different.
That it was because they clogged the toilet, and so he turned the water off so that
he could do repairs.
Overflow.
Yeah, do repairs in the middle of the night.
Is this guy a plumber, too?
He was a
clearly.
It doesn't answer the question as to who cut the bars away.
No.
Because there were.
Who gave him the tools to do that?
8 bars across where these pipes were. And, you know, you can't get through those tiny little squares. And so 4 or 6 of the bars were missing. Who cut those bars away?
Well, I know how they've gotten this far because I've seen Cool Hand Luke. And I know that you can shake the dogs off your trail if you, like, sprinkle a bunch of pepper on the ground. They can't follow you.
Was this a joke?
No.
Is that a
Have
real
you seen
thing?
Cool Hand Luke?
No.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
We don't movie shame on this show.
I'm movie promoting, not shaming.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you had said Top Gun Maverick is the best movie of all time, and I was like, hey, I don't know about that, that would be movie shaming.
No, it would. The only way you can movie shame is if somebody hasn't seen the movie and you go, what?
Oh, that's you shaming?
That's movie shaming.
I actually get that's excitement on my behalf or on your behalf for you to go see this movie.
No. So. Tell me the one movie that you've never seen that you're afraid to admit publicly you've never seen it.
Oh, man. I think it's considered the greatest movie of all time. The
Shawshank
one about
Redemption?
The Hearst back in the... Gosh, dang it. What is that movie? It's supposed to be loosely based on the Hearst family in California.
I'll have to look that
up.
Oh,
my gosh. Text line, help me out here. Just had a blank.
Anyway, never seen that? That's movie shaming.
Citizen Kane?
There you go, Citizen Kane. I've never seen that, considered, I think, by many people, the greatest movie of all time.
I have never seen The Godfather.
What?
No!
Jesse, you like to ruin Top Gun for Scott. I will ruin whatever movie you just mentioned for you.
Citizen Kane?
No.
Oh, okay.
The one before that with the black pepper and the drug sniffing
dogs. Cool Hand Luke.
Ground black pepper was tested in 2007 and 2010 with bloodhounds, and it did not throw them off their trail.
That movie is so unrealistic. And he probably didn't eat 50 eggs either like he did in the movie.
Sam, what's the movie that you've never seen that you're embarrassed to admit?
I've seen most movies.
Give me a break.
Well, now your movie elitism is... That's the opposite of movie shaming.
I've seen a lot of movies.
Well, so have I, Sam.
I don't know.
I've seen every movie.
I don't have anything.
Have you seen The Wizard of Oz?
I have.
Damn it.
Throw them at me.
Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, like 4,000 times.
Star Wars original?
Oh, yeah.
That's another point. When I hear this prison story, everyone's seen Shawshank Redemption. They're basically copying it, right? They're going through a water line?
Well, they went through, so there's this big metal toilet wall.
Uh-huh. It's a cabinet of sorts.
Yeah.
You have a toilet on one side, a sink on the other. There's like shelving for your prisoner toiletries in there.
Clockwork Orange?
Maybe not.
Have you seen Moana 2?
Yes. Oh, Moana.
What? But you haven't seen
now
Clockwork
I'm shaming
Orange.
You for having seen that.
I would have to see, for me, I don't remember the titles of movies, but if I watch like 5 minutes of it, it will come back to me, and then I can tell you the entire rest of the plot line.
No.
So I'm going to hit you with a maybe.
If you've seen Clockwork Orange, you would not forget.
You would remember.
It is the weirdest. I think it came out in 1971.
Stanley Kubrick, right?
Yep. It is the weirdest, most bizarre, deep thought movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
It sounds familiar, but I'll go with no.
You got to see it. It's good.
Monty Python, yes, text line, I've seen that. Princess Bride,
Dr.
yes.
Strangelove, that's another Kubrick.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir, yes.
Why is that the hardest word in the English language to say? Reservoir.
Because it's French.
Dogs.
Reservoir.
Princess Bride?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Evelyn's over here saying Avengers. Have you seen all the Avengers movies?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
How many more arrests do you think will come from this prison escape?
Oh, I think all five won't be around. You mean the staff?
Yeah. No, I mean accomplices, because the three women aren't staff members.
Are you sure about that? Two of them were.
The first two were?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
They worked away, too. I believe they worked in the jail, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh.
This woman, Connie Whedon, I'm not convinced that she works for the jail.
No, text line. I have not seen Blue Velvet. Is that a classic?
I've never even heard of it.
Okay.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I think the text line is confused about movie shaming.
What do you mean?
Movie shaming is when you shame someone who hasn't seen a classic. And there's a lot of titles coming in that are certainly not classics.
Some B-movies. Scott just got shamed hard by Evelyn here. She goes, have you ever seen Twilight?
I said, I've never seen Twilight. She goes, grabbing her pearls. I mean, it was going crazy. Not and I looked at her studio. And I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. North Korea has begun a full-scale investigation into the accident that occurred during the launch of a warship this week, according to state media KCNA. Pyongyang has said the incident on Wednesday was caused by a loss of balance while the vessel was being launched, and that sections of the bottom of the warship were crushed. An internal inspection found that there were no holes in the warship's bottom, but the starboard hull, I have no idea what that is, was scratched, and seawater flowed into the stern section through the rescue channel.
I do love when they come out with a press release.
What's wrong with you?
And you can tell that it's like, yeah, we needed a press release, because we all knew that this boat fell over and got broke, to use dumb terms to describe it. And they were like, well, it lost its balance and fell to the right side.
And the stern was hit by the starboard.
It fell over and got damaged.
And the damage was on the starboard of the underbelly of the stern.
Let's just clear it up here. Starboard is right.
Starboard or starboard?
Starboard.
Well, it's spelled starboard.
Well, and forecastle is spelled forecastle, but you say forecastle.
Okay, so which side is the starboard?
Right. And
port. Why is it the starboard over there?
The starboard? Starboard side?
Yeah, why is that the
because
starboard?
It's opposite of the port side.
I don't know,
because
John Paul Jones decided it was going to be that way sometime. Okay. I don't know.
And then which side is the stern?
Aft.
Huh?
Back. It's the back end of the
Can
ship.
Can you guys use English?
The bow of the ship is the front, and the port is the left side. And the way you remember port is it's four letters for the word port, and left is also four letters. So if you get confused, port
and what's
is left.
What's the front?
The bow.
Bow
of the ship.
The bow of the ship.
Yeah. And the bottom is the keel.
Mm-hmm. Why can't you just say the right side, the left side, the front side, the back side, and the bottom side?
Because in the water, it moves in circles.
Because the Navy's special.
Yeah, but the boat still stays the same.
It's a ship. It's not a boat.
Okay.
Continue on with your official press release from North Korea.
You're lucky you're doing roids these days with those big arms, because now I won't try to fight you. He's not. He's doing protein, just for the record. Well, do you remember what happened to Kim Jong-un's uncle, don't you?
No, what happened?
He took the front side of an ground-to-air missile.
Okay.
From a far-off distance.
Yeah.
And there was nothing left to bury. Kim Jong-un said, whoever is responsible for this ship not getting into the water will be dealt with next month.
Okay. I did say yesterday on the program when we mentioned this story that their families were going to miss them, and the text line corrected me and said, no, their families will probably be going with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably right.
The mishap most likely occurred in front of a large crowd, increasing the public humiliation for Kim Jong-un, who watched Wednesday's launch of the 5,000-ton destroyer in a northeastern port. He was berated, or no, he wasn't berated, because they would be dead. He berated it as a criminal act that could not be tolerated. Can you imagine living in a country like that?
I was just about to say, how can you not be grateful to be an American?
I am grateful to be an American.
I'm not saying you, I'm asking the universe here out loud that there's people that live in this country and complain about it. And sure, we're not perfect, but when you compare us to all these other places out there, I mean, how could you not be grateful to be blessed to have been born in this country?
Not to sound like a philosopher, but for many, it's hard to see the darkness when you've been living in the light.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this, though. Certainly as we enter Memorial Day weekend, and I've said this a million times. I have, as the son of a career military officer who was nearly killed in Vietnam, lucky to be alive. He's not alive anymore, but he was lucky to survive. I wish, and I'm not Memorial Day shaming anybody. Mm-hmm. And I totally get the hot dogs and hamburgers in the afternoon, going to the lake, whatever. But I really do wish that at least once in a while, you don't have to do this every year. I do, but you know, my dad's buried up at Leavenworth at the National Cemetery. I wish everyone would go to a National Cemetery service and just see it. For example, the one on Monday, and it might be raining, so that might preclude you. But every year, it's on Memorial Day, and there are two national cemeteries in Leavenworth, one on the fort and one in the city of Leavenworth. My dad's buried in the city of Leavenworth, thank God, because getting on the fort is just a pain in the you-know-what. But every year, it starts on Memorial Day at 9 o'clock, and they do the laying of the wreaths, and there's a brief prayer and, you know, 21-gun salute. I wish everyone would go and see it just so they can recognize the solemnness, the sacrifice that went into what you get to do that afternoon.
100%.
Because you're right. This country is not perfect. It is not. You would even agree with that.
Sure.
We have things that we need to fix. And sometimes we can't even agree on what we need to fix. And I'm not trying to get into politics here. That's not a political statement. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is sometimes I think we lose sight of just how unbelievably fortunate we are.
Yeah.
And what had to happen, things that you had to do, things that my dad had to do, things that millions of other men and women had to do to ensure that we get to be the cocky, sometimes arrogant people that we are. Do you disagree?
No, I don't. I don't disagree. And I think you can have both. I think you can have the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and you can also have the solemn moment, because I also know that, you know, it's kind of a cliche saying we remember the people that are gone, but we say the things like, hey, this is what they would want us to do also. And that's true. That's, you know, we want to celebrate. We want to have a somber remembrance as well. I took the girls years ago to the Memorial Day event that's down at the World War I Museum. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I go
so amazing. They have the whole Kansas City Symphony there, and there's a fireworks show. So there's a celebratory aspect to it, but then there's also very much a solemn remembrance of all the services and whatnot mm-hmm. there. So it's both. It's the best of both worlds. And I like that we can have hamburgers and throw Frisbees on the lawn there on Memorial Day, because that's what makes America great.
Well, and I think, you know, if you were to, I don't know if you've ever been to Leavenworth or Fort Leavenworth to the cemeteries. It's literally I don't want to say miniature, but it is a smaller version of Arlington.
Sure.
The tombstones are all the same. They're in perfect rows. They dot the hills of Eastern Leavenworth. What's the word I'm looking for here? To borrow the word solemn again, as solemn as it is a beautiful sight. Mm-hmm. And yes. It's very quiet. There's nobody talking. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you get side-eyed. And it is just a remarkable sight. And I think every single human, everyone who is buried there would tell you,
yeah,
go to the lake this afternoon, barbecue burgers, get a steak out, and have fun. Mm-hmm. That's why we did what we did.
That way of life was what is the motivation for the people that serve, is protecting it.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can make a mistake in this country and have no fear that the government is going to shoot you with a ground-to-air missile from a mile away.
Speaking of making mistakes, we have an update from the most recent close call.
Good segue.
At Reagan with the helicopter.
Okay.
This one was the close call that grounded multiple flights, not the one.
This is the one from last week?
Killed 67 people. Yeah, the Pentagon lost contact with the helicopter, had no communications, and the helicopter proceeded to fly out of its path and above its ceiling.
Which is 200 feet, by the way.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it sounds like the one from January.
Yeah. So. Good times. Thank you, NTSB, for looking into that one.
All right, big gulps.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Commander Jesse Reed filling in today for Dana Wright. We presume she will be well and back in her seat on Tuesday. Thank you in advance for your time, my friend.
My pleasure.
Always. Sam Stevie III, my name is Scott Parks, and that young lady over there is his daughter, Evelyn. Not Sam's, but Jesse Reed's, here on KMBZ.
Good stuff, Sam.
I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again.
Yeah, bud.
I saw Zach Brown live at Children's Mercy Park. It was September 11th of 2014. And a fantastic concert, one of my favorite country artists.
Yeah, he's
and,
good.
And he closed with this song. And, you know, we had skipped out. It was a school night. We were already kind of making our way out of the stadium. And we hear this song come on. And we stopped to listen
Reverse.
To it because it was one of our favorite songs. And they get to that portion of the song and they just stop singing and they stop playing music. And I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it.
Wow.
And the entire stadium was just screaming that line at the top of their lungs. And you just stood there frozen.
Well, let's do some more songs like that throughout the afternoon. I mean, not every break that we come back from, but I mean, you know, there are plenty of those songs out there. Some Gave All by, what's his face? her dad.
Fantastic song.
No, you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
What's his name? He sang,
I'm just annoying watching you struggle.
Well, what this is, Sam, and something I'm actually very concerned about is I'm starting to wonder if I have early Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's.
Dementia?
Yes.
Okay.
And you guys can make fun of me all you want, but that's a fact.
He's got three names. Middle name, Ray.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Woo! Woo!
So I still got a little bit left in the tank.
Sam, to your point, that I had a similar story. We got to see at the Naval Academy Toby Keith right after September 11th. So I was there when September 11th happened, and he was in concert shortly after that, and he unveiled that song courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, yeah.
For like one of the first times. It wasn't even out on a record yet.
Stick a boot in your ass.
He came out with an acoustic guitar, God rest his soul, that was Red, White, and Blue, and he started playing that song, and I mean, you've never seen a bunch of people just... lose their minds in such a good way.
Well, we were as a people.
Oh yeah, united, very united.
We were horribly united. We were horribly angry.
Oh yeah.
Were you in the service at that point?
I was a senior at the Naval Academy. I was getting ready to graduate.
So you went into the Persian Gulf War II, Iraq War, Afghanistan, right after you got out of school.
Yeah. In fact, after the break, I'll tell you the story. Since it's Memorial Day weekend, we can swap some stories.
Can you tell it in 2 minutes or less?
Well, I just remember.
I have a dad story.
Yeah.
And the only people I've told it to are my mother, my brother, and my two daughters. And it's not because I'm not proud of what he did over there.
Sure.
It's
hard.
My dad did. He was not ashamed of what he did in Vietnam. But the only thing he ever told me was what happened the day he got shot, and he told me that story the day before he died.
You told me this story too. So I
have I
you've
told you that story?
You've told me all of the above right there.
All right. So I'm comfortable talking
it's
about anything. It's a hard story to tell. I don't know that I want to broadcast it to tens of thousands of people.
And for the folks out there, stuff's hard. It is not romanticized. Movies make it seem like it's this glorious thing. It's awful. It affects people the rest of their lives. It affected your dad to some extent the rest of his life.
And the story involves him, and he never admit. I'm just going to say this very quickly and be very vague. He never admitted in his lifetime with me, and he only lived to be 53. He never admitted to taking life until the day before he died. And it was also the day he almost died. And I'm proud of him for what he had to do. And I'm proud that he did it. I'm proud that he survived. I just don't know that everybody in Kansas City needs to know what he did.
Yeah.
So, but you can tell your story.
How much time do we have?
We
have 34 seconds.
All right. Well, just really quickly.
We can do it after four.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a story. I could tell it real quickly, but, you know, and it wasn't a war story yet. It was my college introduction to the fact that well, we're going to graduate and go to war. And it was a realization of that on the day we watched the Twin Towers come down.
And that was your senior year in college at the Naval Academy?
I'm standing there with a bunch of other midshipmen in silence in basically a commons area, all staring at a TV with a 200 guys other in uniform, complete silence, watching the towers come down. And one of the guys standing next to me, I'd never met in my life, looks over at me and goes, I think we're going to war.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going. Is there more to the story? Can you tell more when we get back?
I mean, that was that story right there. There's other stories, but...
Well, I'll listen to any of your stories. I think they're good.
I'll tell you a war story.
Oh.
If you guys want to hear one.
If you're willing to share it.
I'll weave it out.
I learned a long time ago, if they served in combat, you don't ask.
Okay.
So if you're willing to share it, share
it. This is kind of a fun story, actually, as strange as that sounds.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Okay. Commander Jesse Reed filling in today for Dana Wright. She is back on Tuesday. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. We do Festivus Friday in 1 hour.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.